Remain standing and turn, if you will, to the book of Revelation chapter 1. And I'm glad when the roll is called up yonder, I know where I'll be. Amen. I'll be present when they call my name. Amen. And I'm glad that I have that assurance and confidence in the Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1, and begin reading in verse number 13, where we read this morning. I'm going to read the same section that I read this morning, and I appreciate you bearing with me through my message this morning. It was not necessarily short. As I said, I started late and then stayed late with it, but I got where I felt like I could stop. And tonight, I'll just finish up the thought, and probably won't be real long tonight. So if you'll stay with us, hopefully it'll be a blessing nonetheless. Revelation chapter number 1, verse 13. And the Bible said, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us, please?
Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the Word of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I appreciate the prayer. Appreciate the reading of the Word of God. Amen. In this text that I read to you, as I mentioned this morning, we saw that John had heard the voice behind him and turned to see who had spoken to him. I said this morning, I want to say it again, because I don't believe that that John questioned the voice. I think he recognized the voice, but he longed to see him. And I don't know how long it'll be, but one of these days we're going to hear that voice. And I'll say more about it as I go into the message, because he talks about his voice as the sound of many waters. But we're going to hear that voice, and every child of God, there's something down in them that will recognize the voice of their shepherd. Amen. They'll recognize that voice, and we're longing for that voice, and we'll go to be with him. Amen. When he calls us on that day. John recognized Christ when he saw him. When he looked, turned to see him, rather than seeing him, first of all, he saw those seven golden candlesticks. And we thought about that and looked at that a little bit. Those seven churches, individual churches of Asia that he was to write this letter or this book unto. And yet in the midst of those golden candlesticks, he saw the Lord. Now, I thought about this. I'm glad that those churches are not alone. I'm glad the church of Jesus Christ is not left alone to struggle through this dark night and these dark days that we're living in. I'm glad that we're not left as orphans. We're not left here up to ourselves, but we've got a Lord and a Savior that said, "I'll go with you all the way, amen, even to the end of the earth." So John saw him in the midst of those candlesticks. Then he started describing him unto us. We talked about his raiment. He mentioned two things about his raiment. In verse number 13, he mentioned his garment and his girdle. And then we talked about his royal head that he saw there. That royal head of our Lord, he said, had brilliant hair. It was white like wool, white as snow. And that his bright and blazing eyes, I called it, that he had eyes as a flame of fire. Now tonight I want to notice verse number 15. And start looking here at, he moves as he observes the Lord. I believe his eyes longed to take in all of the Lord. He wanted to embrace the Lord entirely. Listen, I'm glad when Jesus saved me, he took up abode in my heart. It was not just that he moved a little bit in, but he completely moved into my heart and into my life. And I want him to be in me and with me at all times. Don't you? I don't want to just show a little bit of Jesus. I want to see him all and I want to show him all to the world. Amen. John notices his feet. I call these his regal feet. His feet are likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, is what the Bible said. Like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. If you've ever seen brass, especially molten brass, I've never seen it in person. I've only seen it in movies when I was in school, when I was a kid. And I saw as they'd pour that out, that molten brass is fiery. I mean, it's glowing. It's so hot and glowing and it is so bright and brilliant. And our Lord's feet were like that, but brass. All through the Bible, especially Old Testament, is a symbol of judgment. That very first altar when you came into the temple or the tabernacle was the brazen altar because it was on that altar that sin was dealt with. Amen. It was the judgment that you had to face before you could go on into the Holy of Holies. And so Jesus is standing with feet of brass. He's standing in judgment. Amen. This idea here of the fire of God's judgment was to burn continually upon that brazen altar. And his feet, he said, are as if they burned in a furnace. Not as if they had been burned, but they are burning. If you notice that in our text, as if they burned, not had burned, but they're burning now. You see that altar that I talked about, that judgment altar, that brazen altar, where the sin offering was brought, was to be kept on fire, and the fire was to burn there continually. But that altar was overlaid with brass so that it could withstand the fire. Amen. It would come through the fire. And so it's found all throughout the Scripture as the symbol of judgment. In the book of Revelation, the Son of Man, with his feet as brass, it showed that his ways are unyielding in righteousness. He's not going to change. He's not going to turn for you. He's not going to turn for me. He's not going to turn for our loved ones. He's not going to turn just because, say, the times have changed. Amen. He's not turning. His feet are set and he's solid in the way that he's going. Amen. He's not going to change. His ways are unyielding in righteousness. I believe this idea about his feet being of brass also show that one day Jesus is going to put his foot on everything that's contrary to the Word of God. The earth is going to be made his footstool. Amen. He's going to put his foot on the head of the serpent. Amen. He's going to put his foot on the head of every sin. And he's going to stamp out sin in this world one day, thank God. Amen. Now, when he walks through in his feet being of brass, I thought about this, that feet being of brass, it shows that they're bright and they're lustrous. They're beautiful, beautiful feet. Amen. That our Lord Jesus has. That's why he said that the feet are beautiful of those that spread the gospel of peace. Amen. Because we're walking like Jesus walked. But the feet of the glorified body of Christ is like the rest of his glorified body. It's altogether perfect, altogether pure, altogether holy. Amen. His eyes are brilliant and his feet are brilliant. Everything about him is brilliant, is bright and shiny, resplendent in its glory, and repellent of all stain and of all sin. Amen. Even when Jesus comes and treads the winepress of the wrath of God, his vesture will be dipped in blood, but his feet will not be bloodied. Amen. He'll not be stained because he's got those brazen feet. He even walks through those golden candlesticks unspotted by sin. Amen. Stamping out all sin and taking nothing away from him. No spot or stain. He is pure as he walks among the seven golden candlesticks. Matter of fact, here's what he says to us as he walks among the church. He says, "Be ye holy." Why? "For I am holy." That's what Jesus says. His feet are fine brass. So I notice his regal feet in verse number 15. Also notice in the last part of verse 15, his robust voice. Here it said, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now you and I know that water is a very powerful force of nature. Amen. Very powerful force of nature. If you would stand by a waterfall, or if you'll stand by the seaside and hear the sound of many waters, you'll hear a loud noise that drowns out everything else. Nothing else seems to make a move. Nothing else seems to make a noise, because that water moving in its power makes such a loud noise. And when we stand next to it, we stand in awe at the power of that water. Amen. For example, a ship that may look very strong and mighty and in majesty as it sits at the dock, that same majestic ship, when it gets out at sea and just a little bit of the wave of the sea start rolling and a little bit of the wind start moving, and that ship can be tossed to and fro as if it were nothing. I'm telling you, the devil's roaring today, and he sounds like he's a pretty mighty character. I'm glad I've got a God in heaven. All he's got to do is say the word. All he's got to do is lift his voice, and he'll put the devil on the flea. Amen. He'll run. He'll put him on the run. He'll have to flee. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus speaks with power. His voice as the sound of many waters. He speaks with power. He speaks words that are important, words that are life-giving words. His word can carry you safe to harbor, or it can dash you and wreck you at sea. Amen. His word. John heard Christ's voice. I mentioned this morning about how that he had heard his voice at different times. But at this time, John heard Christ's voice as the sound of the billows of the sea. He said it was as if the voice of many waters. In other words, he heard the voice of Christ as the voice of power. Amen. Amen. When Jesus speaks the word, the world ought to listen. Used to be when I was a boy, we had a television when I was a little boy. And I remember there was an advertisement, come on. And that they would be sitting around in a noisy cafeteria, for example, or I guess it's a cafeteria. And they'd be in there and all this rattling of glass and moving of silverware and all this going on. And this fellow leaned over to them and he said, my, and I forget what my broker says. And everybody get deathly quiet. Yeah, it was E.F. Hutton. And it said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Now, it don't get that quiet in the Baptist church unless you take up an offering. Amen. But they used to say, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, I don't know if that's so or not. I never heard him. I never listened to him. I never had enough money to fool with listening to him. I never needed him. But anyway, here's the point I'm going. When Jesus speaks, people ought to listen. People ought to listen, because the words he's saying are important words. He's saying the things that the world needs to hear. When I think about the things that the Bible uses to describe the voice of God, or the voice of Christ, and by the way, this is Christ as God. But when I think about these different things that are used to describe, they talk about a trumpet, they talk about the thunder, and they talk about the noise of waters. All these are symbols used to describe the heavenly voice of our Lord Jesus. It speaks as the voice of power. Amen. That power of that voice can speak peace to your soul. The power of that voice can put grace down in your soul. Amen. But it can also put forth judgment. Talking about the words of Christ. Amen. It can mean your eternal salvation. Talking about what Jesus says. Or it can mean your eternal damnation. The words of Jesus are the words of power. The voice that uttered and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will one day look at others and say, depart from me, I never knew you. You cursed. Amen. That same voice, I'm talking about the voice of the Lord Jesus. You may pass from death unto life by hearing the voice of Christ, or you may pass into eternal damnation by the voice of Christ. Depends on how you hear it. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5. I'll show you a verse of Scripture and then move on. We're going to look over in the book of Hebrews. But right now, John chapter number 5. one verse in John chapter 5, verse number 25. John chapter 5 and verse number 25. Our Lord Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Amen. Now, I want you to notice that the phrase that he used here, that hour is coming when people ought to hear the voice of the Son of God. They should hear it and live. But the Bible plainly says that hour now is. Amen. In other words, you don't need to wait for another time. You don't need to wait for another service. You don't need to wait for another day. If you hear his voice, today is the day to heed his voice. Amen. That loud voice that rings like thunder and like the sound of many waters. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. Again, probably very familiar to you, but it goes along with what I'm looking at, and I believe it's important. Hebrews, chapter number 3, and verse number 15. Hebrews, chapter 3, verse number 15. "While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation." While it is said today, today. Now there's a phrase there that I'd never noticed. Maybe a couple of years ago, I heard Brother Larry Raines bring this out and point. That one little word, I'd always read this today, "if ye hear his voice." There's a word there, "if ye will hear his voice." You can tune him out, but it's to your own destruction. You can cut him off, but it's to your own destruction. But if you will hear his voice, he said, don't harden your heart. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Again, today, if you will hear his voice. I'm glad that voice is still speaking to sinners even in 2015. Amen. I'm glad God's still interested in saving sinners. Listen, when those five Supreme Court justices said that we're going to go against God, we're going to go against nature, we're going to go against every law that's ever been, and we're going to just defy all this, and we're going to say that sodomite marriage is all right, and we're going to turn the world on its ear, and we're going to go a different way, God didn't say, "All right, I'm done with you." I'm glad he's still reaching out to sinners and bringing them to Christ if they'll come. Amen. That voice, I believe, is still calling. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:2. You don't have to turn because you probably know this one so well. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Amen. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead need to hear the voice. I'm talking about those that are dead in their trespasses and sin. They need to hear his voice and live. Amen. Hearing his voice, believing his word, you live and have life eternal. Amen. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever heard that voice of power? When Jesus speaks, demons have to flee. Amen. Amen. That man, I thought about it as I was studying this out. That man in Mark chapter 5, and it's in other scriptures as well, I think Luke 8. But in Mark chapter 5 in particular, that man that we call the Gadarene demoniac had a bunch of devils in him. Matter of fact, they were so many devils, when the Lord asked them their name, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I don't know if that means that there was a certain number, that, for example, that make up a legion in the army, or the Roman army, or however. I don't know if that was the way that he's used it, but I know this. Apparently there was multiple devils in that one man. And enough devils in that one man that it went to a whole herd of swine. About 2,000, the Bible said. Amen. But when Jesus told those devils to get out of that man, they didn't have enough ability, all of them put together, to say no. Amen. When Jesus said come out, they had to come out. That's the power of the voice of the Savior. Amen. They even had to ask for permission to get into the pigs. Amen. I wonder, here's a thought, it's just sidetracked, but I wonder if it's not true, if devils don't ask for permission, or at least get permission to get in people. And I'm not talking about necessarily permission from the Lord. I'm talking about permission from the people. I believe people get devils in them by opening doors and introducing themselves to those spirit worlds. Amen. I believe a lot of drugs. I believe a lot of drink. Drinks are called spirits, by the way. I believe a lot of the things, a lot of these games, Ouija games, video games, a lot of the things people are doing, they're opening doors to devils. And they're letting them in. By the way, a lot of this stuff that goes on, they say one of the biggest promoters of yoga today is a man by the name of Dr. Oz. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's real popular on the television and he sends out all this health information, but he's teaching people to have this transcendental meditation. Opening your mind to devils is what he's having you do. They're doing it in Baptist churches. Amen. They're getting together and doing these things that are opening doors, I believe, to devils. Well, here, to get back to my message, this thought here, when our Lord spoke, devils had to flee. When our Lord spoke, storms had to stop raging. Amen. When our Lord spoke, waves of sea had to lay down and be still. Amen. When our Lord spoke, dead men came out of the grave. Thank God. I'm glad He's still calling. And one of these glorious days, He's going to speak again. Amen. He's going to say, come up hither, and I'm headed out of here. Amen. The dead in Christ will hear His voice and rise and go to be with Him in the air. And we that remain, amen, shall be caught up together with them. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. That's part of where I was quoting there. He said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I don't believe it's somebody else shouting. I believe it's His voice shouting. And the voice of the archangel. I believe that's His voice. And with the trump of God. I believe that's His voice. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Lord. Amen. Here's the verse Brother Hall probably likes. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10. My beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. One of these days Jesus is going to step out on a cloud and we're going to hear that voice as of mighty waters. And He's going to say, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And when He calls, we're going up to meet Him. Amen. Amen. When He calls, I'll fly away. That's the song. Amen. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Amen. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. There is a voice going to sound one of these days, and it's the voice of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to call us out of this world. But the only ones that will hear His voice on that day are those that have tuned in to the right station already. They've heard His voice when He called them out of their sin. Amen. They heard His voice and heeded His voice when He called them to Him for salvation. Then they got to where they could understand His voice. Amen. And hear His voice and know His voice when He calls us from the clouds. Amen. So we see His regal feet. Let me give you the last one. We see His right hand, verse number 16. And He had in His right hand 7 stars. Now of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as a sun, as the sun shineth in His strength. 3 things I want you to notice, and this is all dealing with the right hand. First of all, after John noticed and documented the appearance of Christ's garments, he documented the appearance of His head, His hair, His eyes, and His feet. And even His voice. And now he goes on to notice something special that's in the right hand of the Savior. I'm interested that it's in that very particular hand. He notices 7 specific stars in the right hand of the Savior. You see that? And in His right hand, 7 stars. Now you may wonder what the mystery is of those stars. Verse number 20 tells us, look with me. Verse number 20, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So the 7 stars are the 7 angels or messengers, I believe pastors, of the 7 local independent churches. Amen. He's sending a message. Now, I read commentators where men said, and I mean some good men, said this is, they said every time the word angels used in the book of Revelation, it's always talking about a heavenly being and never talking about a human being. And it said, therefore, we shouldn't change Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3 to be talking about a human being. But numbers of times in the Bible, he'll call those angels men. So it wouldn't be a surprise if he'd call a man an angel. Amen. I believe that he's talking about messengers, and when we see these messengers, I don't believe John was to write a letter to a heavenly messenger. I don't believe he'd write a letter of reproof to a heavenly messenger. I believe he wrote these letters of reproof to human messengers that had the capability of making decisions to serve God or not to serve God. Amen. And so he's writing, I believe, to some human messengers. But the thing that I see here are these angels or these pastors and messengers of these seven churches of Asia, which John is commissioned to write this letter, are in the hand of the Lord. Not just either hand. John specifically says in the right hand. These stars speak of a ministry of light which Christ has committed to the saints. Amen. That we are responsible to shine in His light. Amen. We're responsible to shine for Him in the world. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what the song said. Amen. The song goes on and said, Jesus gave me a light and He told me to let it shine. Now, one of the problems today, a lot of people want it to be their own light and they want to get their own recognition and they want to be a star. Amen. Amen. But Jesus wants us to be a star, but the star He wants us to be is not the star of our own show. Amen. He wants us to be a star set in the firmament that'll lighten up the firmament, that'll brighten up the darkness, that people might see the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of the heavens rather than individuals. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus has these seven stars in His hand. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen. And so these messengers with the gospel message are stars in the hand of God. Now again, I've said it over and over, but I want you to notice that He specifically says it's in His right hand. Not just any hand, but in His right hand. Verse 16. And He had in His right hand seven stars. That right hand is the hand that holds the scepter. The king. That right hand is the hand that holds the sword. The warrior. Amen. That right hand that holds the scepter and that right hand that holds the sword is the same hand that holds the stars for the glory of Christ. Amen. That shows me that Jesus has in His hand His messengers. In other words, He has the right to place them where He wants them. Amen. He has the right to provide for them as He sees fit. And He has the right to protect them. That's why He says, touch not mine anointed and do that my prophets no harm. Amen. Amen. And so I'm saying Jesus has the power and the authority to place, to provide, and to protect His men. And I believe He will. I believe the day's coming when they're going to rise up against us. We've talked a little bit about it. And if you heard anything that was going on the radio this morning, as Brother Massengale played that special program and talked about what's going on there, and we'll say more about that as days come. But I want to tell you, they're going to do their best from the government, from the governor, all the way down to the little man here in town. They're going to do their best to shut down the message that says that sodomy is sin, because they've chosen to embrace it. They've chosen to uphold it. They've chosen to promote it. And if we're going to help people, we got to tell them it's sin and you need to get out of it. Amen. They're going to do their best to stop it. They're going to do their best to stop it. And Brother Massengale said that they had had people that have left their church and things have been said and things have been told that are untrue, and that people are picking up on it and writing things and saying things and doing things that are untrue. I don't doubt that one bit. You know that's how they operate. That's exactly how they operate, trying to undermine. And by the way, the media will pick up on it at a hat's drop. Amen. They'll pick up on it as quickly as they can and try to spread all kinds of foolishness. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is still in control, and He's still got His stars, thank God, in His right hand. Amen. And Jesus is still walking around through the candlesticks. Thank God. Amen. He's still in control. Amen. Well, Jesus, by holding these stars in His right hand, that right hand is the hand of honor. When you go to shake somebody's hand, you don't offer them your left hand unless you got something wrong with your right one. Amen. Because a left-handed handshake, you got to reach this way if they're reaching with their right hand. A left-handed handshake is not the honorable position. Honorable position goes from the right, and you shake their hand. That right hand is the hand of honor. That right hand is the hand you hold up. That's the right hand is the hand that shows your respect and your honor. And Jesus is holding the preachers in His hand. I believe it's showing that God still honors preaching, thank God. And God still blesses preaching. That's the way He chose to do it. Amen. Amen. God has chosen that way to work. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. He hadn't changed His program. He's not going to change His program. Amen. He's not changed His plan. He's still on track doing it the way He intended to do it. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to notice this too, not just this about the stars being in the right hand and the Lord being in the midst of those candlesticks. Think about this. Stars and candlesticks are used in the night. I touched on a little bit this morning. Jesus, when He was in the world, He said, I am the light of the world. Amen. And if we know Him, we can walk in the light and not be in darkness. Amen. But the world does not know Him, and He's left out from here. Now we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We need to be shining as lights in this dark night. It is nighttime over the world today. Amen. It is nighttime all around, not just America. Britain's the same way. France is the same way. Germany's the same way. Amen. The world is engulfed in darkness, and the whole world lieth in sin. And you know what they need? They need a candle. They need a star. They need some light in their darkness. I'm glad God let me be born this day. Amen. I'm glad God let me be used this day. I want to be a bright and a shining light for the Lord Jesus, don't you? Amen. We need preachers that'll shine like stars. We need churches that'll shine like candlesticks. Amen. And then we notice verse 16, out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now that's a strange picture if you want to look at it. Strange picture. You'd think in His right hand it'd be a sharp two-edged sword. But out of His mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. There's no doubt that that is an allusion to the Word of God. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. You know it. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank God. The Word of God is His two-edged sword. And that comes out of the mouth of God. Out of the mouth of the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Talking about Jesus being God. Amen. And when He speaks, His Word is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. So Jesus has a sword that's going out that is His Word. Revelation chapter 19. Turn there if you will. If you're in Revelation 1, it won't take you long to get there. Revelation 19 and verse number 15. I could just read it to you, but it might do better to look at it. Revelation 19 and verse number 15. You know 19 is when the Lord comes and makes war. Amen. And He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So verse number 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. This is talking about the Lord Jesus, no one else but the Lord Jesus. But it says He's going to do His work with His Word. When you read how Jesus deals out judgment, you do not see Jesus laying His hands on people. Jesus never punched one Pharisee, although He probably would have liked to. I would have. I know Peter would have liked to. Peter reached out with a sword towards one of them. Amen. One of them servant. But the Lord never laid hands on one Pharisee. The Lord's not going to lay hands, according to what I can read in the Scripture. I don't see Him laying hands on the beast. I don't see Him laying hands on the false prophet. I don't see Him laying hands on these others. But He only gives the Word. And at His Word, they're cast down and they're brought down. I'm going to tell you, at the Word of Jesus, every knee's going to bow one of these days. Amen. His Word is that powerful. Now, men today are trifling and trying to change the two-edged sword, because it's too sharp. They don't want it being so sharp. They want it to be toned down a little bit. Amen. They want us to be able to say things that don't offend people. By the way, I don't like offending people. I don't want to offend anybody. Amen. My goal is not to offend. My goal is to help people. But Paul said this. He said, "Am I become your enemy because I've told you the truth?" Amen. There's the day we're living in. Maybe Brother Steve said, somebody said it this morning. How can you speak about what God said is an abomination and it not be offensive? If they love it and God said He hates it, and that's just one sin. I mean, there's millions. We could go on other things as well. But I'm telling you, that's the issue of the day that our world has embraced, and they're upholding and they're promoting, and we got to stand for what God said, or else we're going to just have to throw it all away. Amen. Amen. But men are trifling with that two-edged sword. Men are trying to change that two-edged sword, but they will soon find out that it is too powerful for them. This Bible does not need me to defend it. Amen. This Bible does not need you to defend it. All it needs is for us to use it, and the Holy Ghost will work with it. Amen. Amen. People can get saved just, I believe, by the power of the Word of Christ. Christ is going to use it to smite the nations. Amen. Preachers and Christians today, I believe, ought to do a little smiting with a sword as well. And I'm not talking about killing people or hurting people. I'm talking about using the Word of God as a powerful tool. Amen. And the last thing we see in verse number 16, "And His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength." I call that the sunshining countenance, just because it goes along with the seven specific stars and the sharp two-edged sword. There's the sunshining countenance. After John had described the vision of the glorified Christ, he sums it all up by describing the glow of His face. That's what the countenance illustrates. There is a radiance, I believe, not just of the face, but of the entire being of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He said was as the sun shining in its might. Sun shining in its strength. The bright sunshine, He said, what really is no comparison to the brightness of Jesus. As the song says, "For Jesus will outshine them all." Amen. Amen. That reminds me of Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. We read it some months ago when we was going through it. He said, "But unto you that fear My name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Jesus is going to rise one day. When He comes back, He'll not be that man that looked like he was beaten on Calvary, that man that was bloodied on Calvary, that man that was bruised on Calvary. But when He comes back, He'll be the bright and shining Son of God and the Son of Righteousness. Amen. Matthew chapter number 17, verses 1 and 2. Here's what the Bible says. "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light." Amen. Now I'm thinking about the brightness, the brilliance of the face of our Lord. Shines as the sun. This is God through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ, shining. Amen. His face shone as bright as the sun in its strength. In this shining countenance, we see infinite brightness, divine glory, irradiating, penetrating, and revealing all the darkness and all the secrets. It chases the darkness away. In Him is light, and there's no shadow of turning in Him. In other words, He causes the darkness to flee away. Amen. I got to preach a little bit about that this morning, how that He sees it all, and when the judgment comes, He's going to bring it all out. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, that's part of His shining countenance, is that the darkness has to flee, and there's nowhere to run. I got to thinking about this when I was studying this, Brother Hall. I got to think about when God on creation day, He made the moon and He called the moon the lesser light. And He made the sun and He called the sun the greater light. I wonder why He didn't say the greatest light. Because the sun's not the greatest light. It's greater than the moon. But there's one greater than the sun. Amen. And that's the S-O-N. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest light. Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 9 and you'll see Paul said it exactly right. Acts chapter number 9. There's a light brighter than the noonday sun. Thank God. And it's the face of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now turn to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 9, we've got the instance given. This is Luke telling us, as he wrote the book of Acts, what happened to Paul or Saul. And it says there was a light that shined around him. But Paul tells the story himself. In Acts chapter number 22, and he gets his opportunity to give his personal testimony, and he tells exactly what happened. Look at verse number 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. So it was not just a light that shined around him, as Acts 9 said, but Acts 22 verse 6 said it was a great light. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 22. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of the men that was with me, I came unto Damascus. You see, that light was so great that it outshined the noonday sun. It was so great that it blinded Paul. And Paul fell to his face and called on the Lord and was changed from that moment. Amen. Excuse me. This idea that I've got here, I believe it was the face of Jesus. Here's what I believe. I believe that when Paul held the coats of those men as they stoned Stephen, the Bible says as they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And he was saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And as they stoned him, the Bible said his face glowed. Amen. I believe Saul got a little picture of Jesus in that Christian that he stoned and Saul stoned to death. And that light of that glorious countenance haunted him through the night. That light of that glorious countenance haunted him through his life until he came to that Damascus Road experience and that light shined and he said, Who art thou, Lord? Amen. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Amen. Now here's the point I'm going on that, and I'll try to close it with a thought about salvation. Have you ever seen the light? Or are you still in darkness? Are you walking in that light? Are you walking in His countenance? That light that shined through Jesus, I believe, is the glory of God. It's God manifesting through the Son. Amen. It's the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what He saw on that day. Have you ever seen that light? Are you walking in the light? Are you spreading the light? Are you using the sword, the Word of God? Well, we better get busy because one of these days, we're going to hear His voice. And He's going to call us out of here. And then it's going to be too late to try to rescue our loved ones. Let's stand to our feet as we go to the Lord in prayer and they come with a song. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You again, Lord, for the blessed Word of God. I want to thank You, Lord, for the symbolic Scripture that we saw and the beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank You, Lord, that it is a wondrous sight. And I want to thank You that I have seen the light by the grace of God. I remember that fifth Sunday in June, 1974, when You came to where I was, just a lost little boy, and You shined the light of the glorious gospel into my heart, pricked my heart, and drew me to Christ. I want to thank You for that, Lord. Father, I pray You do the same even now, some sinner. Lord, help us as saints not to get weary in well-doing. Remember, we're in the right hand. We're all right. We're protected. We're provided for. We're placed where we're supposed to be. We just trust You through these days and through this night. Let us shine till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, would you come and obey the Lord? 217, if you need to come.